Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Wednesday. We're halfway through the week, and it's going pretty fast. We have a lot to get to today. Today's kind of like one of my favorite types of news days. Because the media is getting what they deserve. And I'll explain why. If you allow someone to walk all over you, there's this old expression in love. We attract the love we think we deserve. Like if you have a loser boyfriend who never brings you flowers or never takes you out to dinner, and he thinks he can get away with it, then he's going to be a loser boyfriend forever. And the press let Joe Biden walk all over them, call the shots, not answer any questions during his basement campaign. And so naturally, he grows accustomed to that. He's not required to step it up. No one's holding him accountable. He can do whatever he wants. And he still gets, not only does he not get tough questions, he gets praised. We are told that he is the second coming, that this man has Socratic questions and carries around leather briefcases and eats dinner with his beautiful wife, who he kisses on the head because PDA is back at the White House and they have dogs and he loves ice cream. And he is just a picture of a return to normalcy. And so naturally, Joe, coming from the basement, is like, this is great. I haven't had to leave this cozy little spot I have. I've won. I become president. You know, what else could I ask for? It was the easiest cakewalk for a 78-year-old man whose mental acuity is rapidly declining. And it was all thanks to, I say this all the time, this presidency is brought to you by the mainstream media. You have them to thank. And it cracks me up that now, you know, they're puffing out their chests and they're walking around like they're very upset that Joe's not answering their questions. Why on earth would he answer your questions now? This is like negotiating with someone, handing over money, and then thinking you still have the leverage. They have no leverage anymore. He's in. This kind of stuff that you're getting mad about now would have been great 9 months ago, 10 months ago, but you guys were too busy suppressing stories about Hunter Biden and pretending everything bad about Joe was Russian disinformation that you couldn't be bothered to ask him any questions besides the flavor of ice cream he was eating, which, by the way, was chocolate chip. I'm sad that I know that. You guys were so busy for the first few months of this presidency, oohing and aahing when he put his foot on the pedal of a car. Oh, big boy Joe's driving the car all by himself. And now that things are going wrong and other allies are calling out this disaster of a presidency, the press suddenly wants to put on their journalism caps again. You know, they want to, because at the end of the day, and I talk to Howie about this a lot, these people are camera whores. And I know that because I too am a camera whore, and I understand being a ham. I understand that if you're in this business, you like a certain amount of attention. You like a certain amount of pizzazz. And so they want to be on TV. You know, Peter Alexander, he's realizing now that looking at Peter Ducey with a befuddled, furrowed brow isn't getting him the same amount of attention that actually asking a question would. So they've run into this issue. And yesterday, the reason I bring this up, because it's always, you know, top of mind for me. I've tweeted about it before. I've written about it before. I always say Biden treated the press like dirt. And now they deserve all of this. They deserve to not have questions answered. They deserve to be shooed out. They deserve to be thank you, thank you, thank you by President Biden's handlers. They deserve it all. You know, it couldn't happen to a nicer lot of people. But the reason I bring this up is because yesterday something very interesting happened. Yesterday, we had a rogue character in the Oval Office, and that would be UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson. And Boris decided that he was going to be a normal political leader and be a normal public servant and actually answer questions from the press. This was delightful for the reporters here because they are used to seeing the back of Joe Biden's head. So this was a little treat for them. You know, oh, what a pleasant surprise. He has decided to override the handlers and actually take some questions. But this is how panicked the administration is about old Joe answering a question. They let this man, Boris Johnson, take three questions. And then on the third one, they cut him off. And we played a little bit of the sound cut of all of the thank you. I always compare them to the flight attendants in the SNL skit, the bye-bye people. Bye-bye, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, this way, thank you. They're getting more and more aggressive, though. They're kind of, the thank yous, it really, they're losing that customer service, fake politeness, and they're just going into, thank you, come on, let's go. It's like prison guards. They're just pushing people out. They're like bouncers at a club. Now, I want to walk through this because we played the cut yesterday, but I didn't realize the dynamics of it until this morning. Let's first go with Joe Biden and Boris Johnson are sitting there in the Oval Office. Joe's got his mask on, his black mask. He looks like he could doze off at any second, which we know he's prone to do. And Boris decides to throw it out to the reporters and say he'll take a few questions. And I love to imagine how these helpers, how these handlers, how these instructors, you know, I like to imagine what's going on in their heads when he says that. When he says, I'll take a few questions. Sheer panic sets in. Like, what? No, you won't. We specifically told you not to take any questions. So let's first play cut one, please.
Would it be okay if we just have a couple of questions, just a couple of
good
questions
luck.
And I think we're going to be ruthless. I'm going to go to Harry Cole from the Sun.
Mr. President,
he's
asked him the question.
Mr. President, is Britain still at the back of the queue for a trade deal, a free trade deal, as your previous President Obama?
Of course,
may I just ask, what possible justification is there for the anti-Cubans not to be extradited to the United Kingdom to face justice over the death of Harry Biden?
Two things. One, that latter case is being worked on. I was under the impression, but I don't know this, I want to be clear, I was under the impression there had been a civil settlement reached, but I don't
know
that.
That's correct.
And based on what I've been told, it was not an intentional act. It was someone who is new to driving on the wrong side of the road, quote unquote. But we're following. I'll follow up on that. I expressed my sympathies when it occurred, but I don't know the status of that case right now.
I have to say, it's refreshing hearing Boris Johnson just talk, you know, off the cuff and say, hey, you know, I think it'd be nice if we took a couple questions. It's the most eloquent speaking I've heard coming out of the Oval Office in quite some time. And it talk about restoring normalcy. It feels really normal to have a guy just say, hey, yeah, of course we'll take some questions. And I think he's enjoying knowing how panicked all these Biden people are going to be, because don't forget, Boris, I don't think, is too fond of Joe right now. So I think this is a little bit of trolling on his part. Like, yeah, of course we can take questions, right, Joe? What could possibly go wrong with that, right, Mr. President, who doesn't call anyone after he decides to withdraw from Afghanistan? This is a great idea. Let's play cut two.
The other question was?
Brexit free trade.
Well, we're going to talk about trade a little bit today, and we're going to have to work that through.
Let me just say on that, Harry. I mean, don't forget, folks. So we've settled the Boeing Airbus thing, which was a massive problem between us. So we're making a lot of progress. To say nothing of the beef and the whiskey, which I already mentioned. And just can I just say on?
Smile when you said the whiskey.
Well, he's a great ambassador for them. But on the Harry Dunn case, which is a very, very, very sad case, and everybody's sympathies are with the family of Harry Dunn. I know that the president has been personally trying to move things along, and I'm grateful for that.
Now, there's another question that comes after, and this is on Irish protocols. The reporters are asking Biden about this, but I'm going to skip over that. And I'm going to just go to Biden's answering the question on Irish protocols. And then after that, we'll play the thank you girls basically shooing the reporters out of the room. So let's play cut four.
There are two separate issues. On the deal with the UK, that's continued to be discussed. But on the protocols, I feel very strongly about those. We spent an enormous amount of time and effort in the United States. It was a major bipartisan effort made, and I would not at all like to see, nor I might add, would many of my Republican colleagues like to see a change in the Irish courts, the end result having a closed border again.
Okay, so you can hear him fading out, you know? It starts when it starts to sound like Mad Libs, like he's just throwing words, nor will I, you know, the thing with the obviously the and I probably should say that there's but there's no like subjects to the sentences. That's when Biden's fading out. So this is when the handlers come into play. Cut five.
And on that point, Joe, you know, we are completely at one. And I think nobody wants to see anything that interrupts or unbalances the Belfast Good Friday Accords. That's the Belfast Good Friday Agreement. That's the.
They interrupt his answer to kick people out. And the funniest part about this is that the press pool, has filed a complaint with Jen Psaki. And we're going to talk about that when we get back. I think this is a sternly worded complaint. And you know how that can really shake things up.
When you nominated a woman.
Oh my gosh, it just gets sadder and sadder. It's true what they say, a perfect smile's change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. I'm going to Perfect Smiles in a few weeks. I'm so excited. I know that sounds counterintuitive. Most people don't love going to the dentist. But if you go to Perfect Smiles, you understand why I'm saying this. I mean, everyone there is awesome. The protocols they use really make you feel great. I mean, a lot of the stuff they had to bring in for COVID actually makes the experience even better. Your teeth are so clean at the end of this. I've never had a better cleaning in my life. But also, if you're someone who's been thinking about veneers, about transforming your smile, and you've been putting it off, now is the time. The masks are coming off. Life is going to go back to normal, despite what the mainstream media might be telling you. So make sure you have a smile you can be proud of. And it's amazing to watch their testimonial videos at perfectsmiles.com. Talk about incredible transformations. Dr. Houghton really is an artist, and everyone there is very nice. It's located in Nashua, New Hampshire. Parking is free. All you have to do is contact them today, look at their video testimonials, and the rest is up to you. I mean, I don't need to try to convince people. You just look at those video testimonials and you'll understand what kind of beautiful work they do. So go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life. 844-500-4242. We have more to discuss here. Do you feel bad for the mainstream media? Are you sad for them? That they're not that they're getting cut off and that they're not getting their questions answered. 844-500-4242. We'll get the small violin ready. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday. Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Here comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
There's more to that meeting, too, that we don't know about. That was just the question. That was just the back and forth. But there's something that also happened that I didn't realize yesterday, which is Biden brought back up the Amtrak story. If you're not familiar,
Joey baby,
if you're not familiar with Joey baby, you're in luck because we're going to break that down as well. But before we do, let's do the poll question here. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. You may have just received a special email from me on a great offer from Fairway Financial. To learn more, go to fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will Biden hold a makeup press conference by Halloween?
Now, the reason I chose this as a poll question is because the White House press pool is furious that Joe Biden's instructors, that's what I like to call them, because he's always saying he's instructed to not take questions or to take them from ABC Mary or from Zeke Miller from the AP. So I like to call them the instructors. They got rid of all of the reporters while Boris Johnson was mid-answer to a question. It was incredibly rude and disrespectful to the UK Prime Minister and to the President of the United States. Not that he cares. He's probably very happy that they all, you know, shoot away all of the reporters. But this is what happened after. The entire editorial component of the U.S. pool went immediately into Jen Psaki's office to register a formal complaint. You know what, Jared? Can we get the violin? To register a formal complaint that no American reporters were recognized for questions in the president's Oval Office, and that wranglers loudly shouted over the president as he seemed to give an answer to Ed O'Keefe's question about the situation at the border. Biden's answers could not be heard over the shouting. Psaki, now I have to transfer to my Psaki uptalk, Psaki was unaware that the incident had occurred and suggested that she was not in a position to offer an immediate solution. And if you're wondering what the question was or what his answer was, we also have that sound. Let's play the question from Ed O'Keefe that he's shouting over. Now, normally I would say, listen, we don't have good audio or whatever, but the whole point of this audio is that this is what the press is dealing with, thanks to these wranglers, as they put it. Let's play cut six.
I have no idea. Hope the microphone got it.
So let's pause it there. Ed O'Keefe says, as we were leaving, I asked the president for his reaction to the situation on the southern border due to the shouting by the White House aides, the noise of everyone leaving, and the president wearing his mask. Ooh, it's a triple threat. We could not make out his answer. Update. We have played back the tape, and part of the president's answer is decipherable. I asked for his response to the situation on the southern border, and he says, in part, violence is not justified. He is wearing a mask, and there is shouting, so nothing else is decipherable. And he's referring to, I'm sure, the horse reins that are causing all sorts of outrage. So, Jared, what is the what are the results of this poll question?
85% believe no, Joe Biden will not hold a makeup press conference for the press by Halloween.
Yeah, that's what they're asking. You know, they're saying, you disrespected us. We didn't get any questions answered. You need to hold a press conference. Ha!
Good luck with that one.
You may say I'm a dreamer, but I don't think they're in their right minds if they think he's holding a second press conference. You got a first press conference. You should still be happy about that. 844 500-4242. The press is having regrets, and we're going to talk about it. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. On Fox right now, it says reporters fed up as Biden ignores questions. Be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. Do you think they're regretting this? I actually I put together a little clip because I think they're having some regrets. I think they're missing someone they hated so much. Let's play this little ditty.
Now don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone?
Do you miss me yet? Do you miss me?
I'm sure they have no regrets. I'm sure that people like Ed O'Keefe are just thrilled to have to go back like they're in Criminal Minds and replay the footage of Joe Biden murmuring under his mask 400 times. And then he's like, I think we got the answer. And it doesn't really mean anything, but he said violence will not stand.
I can say quite clearly.
And it's hard to make out because of the mask, but we got something. But it's pretty amazing. And what they're asking, which is why we had this as a poll question, they're asking for a press conference. Psaki was unaware that the incident had occurred between the handlers and the press and suggested that she was not in a position to offer an immediate solution. That could be a standing headline for this entire administration. You know, the border czar Kamala Harris showed up yesterday to comment on the situation in Del Rio. But she can't really fix anything. That's going to require fixing the Northern Triangle countries, governments, and corruption. And Haiti's not even part of that deal. And no one can really seem to get anything done. Biden can't get anything done. So Jen Psaki's saying she's not in a position to offer an immediate solution, I think is a really good, honest take from Jen Psaki for once, because she's not in a position to offer a solution on anything, and neither are any of the people in this administration. It's complete incompetence everywhere you look. So Portnoy, let me see his name. Oh, he's the White House Correspondents Association President, Stephen Portnoy, and he's mad. He's not happy about this. So he is requesting that Biden hold a formal press conference as a makeup for continuing to ignore reporters' questions, which is a common occurrence for Biden. And Psaki responded by claiming, this is my favorite part, that Biden takes questions several times a week. And, you know, on this show, I always play the Mugatu sound of him saying, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, because I usually feel that way. But it's so nice and it's so satisfying to see that now these reporters are going to start to feel like Mugatu.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Because they are being told over and over again, oh no, he takes questions. And they have to stand there for hours with these stupid microphones when he's not taking questions. And I love that. I hate to sound like I'm celebrating other people's failures, but I really do love it because this is exactly what they have coming to them. They created this beast and now they're mad. They fed the alligator over and over and over again. And now the alligator waddles off and doesn't answer any of their questions. And they're surprised. Well, you shouldn't be. This is what you wanted. I'm sorry you have regrets, but this is what you wanted. They're having quite a few.
I immediately regret this decision.
Yeah, they should. They should regret all of this. Because not only do their ratings suck now, but they don't even have little clips to put on Twitter. They've got nothing. They've got a guy whispering underneath a mask. And I don't really understand what the problem is, what their issue is, you know, like what's their major gripe here? Because now they're requesting a press conference, which is just, ugh, it's so over the top. You know what I mean? I know Trump used to give them once or twice a day, but let's cool our jets, okay? Just because he's the president of the United States doesn't mean you need access to him. Doesn't mean you need to know that he can count to five. He's fine. He's sitting there. His eyes are semi-open. You should be satisfied with that. And besides, he is giving us pertinent information when he's in front of the camera. It's not like he's up there rattling on about things that don't matter or telling old stories that aren't true. He's
Joey, baby.
He's retelling poignant, moving, meaningful stories like the Amtrak story that's been debunked, you know, 10 or 15 times. This was before the handlers got involved. This was Joe just shining, just Joe being Joe. Cut seven.
I travel more on Amtrak. I think if I were a conductor, I'd be number one in seniority. I got to tell you a quick story. It has nothing to do with anything. When I was vice president, the Secret Service didn't like me traveling on Amtrak because there were too many options for people to cause trouble along the way. But I insisted I do it. And one day they put in the newspaper, Biden travels 1 million, I think, don't hold me the exact number, I think it was 350,000 miles on Air Force Two. And so I, walking up to the, getting the train on that Friday, and a guy who was the number three guy from New Jersey on seniority as a conductor walked up and grabbed me, and he goes like this, Joey, baby, grabbed my cheek. I thought the Secret Service was gonna shoot him. And I said, no, no, he's a friend. He said, Joey, big deal. 1,300,000 miles on Amtrak, I mean, on Air Force Two. You know how many miles you travel on Amtrak? I said, no. He said, with the retirement dinner, we worked it out. He said, 36 years in the Senate, X number of years at that point as vice president, average 131 days a year, 257 miles a day. Joey, you traveled over 2 million miles. Big deal. I thought they should name the railroad after me or something. But anyway.
They made the station up.
Yeah, they did.
It's big news.
I just have to say that, you know what I hear in that story, Jared? Do you know what I hear? I hear the southern border being fixed. I hear answers. I hear hope. I hear America is back. When that old feeble man rambles on about a fake story about a man saying, Joey, baby, you travel a lot on the train. I hear a restoration of norms. I hear America unified once again.
America is back.
We're back. We're building back bagel better. And it starts with the stupid story about the Amtrak. And I won't take anyone in the press giving Joey Baby a hard time for not holding press conferences.
Bagel back better.
This is more important than that. These are stories that Donald Trump never could have given us. He never would have wasted our time with these stories time and time again. So I thank Joe Biden. I thank my president for these moments, because I don't know what I'd do without them. I might feel a little bit nervous about the state of the world right now, but thanks to these Amtrak old fake stories, I feel a lot better. Adam, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Grace, love the stories. Unbelievable. I think, to be honest with you, I think there's a turning point. I think the Republicans have an incredible opportunity in the next election and also in the midterms. I think the Democrats have got exactly what they've wanted. They don't want it anymore because they can see exactly what is happening in the country. People I talk to and know around, they're saying they're just not going to stay quiet anymore. They're just going to speak up and really get this thing rolling. I feel like you do. There's a definite awakening here in America that this guy, this 78-year-old person, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for him. I really do, because he's, you know, he should be telling stories, but maybe in an old home, folks' home. Not as the president of the United States.
No, absolutely.
And to be honest with you, the Republicans, I mean, they should be doing more than what they're doing right now. They should step up to the plate and be counted. I mean, that's what we have to do, be counted, because I think America's had enough of this joke, and it's a joke with Biden. I'm sorry to say that. I wouldn't say that about the president anywhere, but he is, unfortunately, what he is. So,
yeah.
And
well said, Adam. And I agree with you. I think these stories would be very charming if they were happening in a nursing home. But I don't find them as charming when they're happening in the Oval Office, and the reporters are at this point, what I'm noticing, and this is just because I listen to this stuff ad nauseum, but what I'm noticing is that the laughter too is fading. You know, people are, they're giving them just enough, you know, but they used to be like, he would tell these stories and it was, and now it's a little bit more, this one again. Okay. Just got to get through this and then we'll get a question or two. That's where you're wrong. But I agree with Adam where something's happening. And I've said that.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear.
I think it is pretty clear, though. What's happening is people realize we have a man who has no wherewithal in the Oval Office. And it's scary. It's scary. And I don't feel bad for the press, but I do feel, here's who I feel bad for. I feel bad for, first of all of us who voted for Donald Trump. I feel very bad for us because we told you so. And no one wants to be in this position, you know, and I tell this story sometimes, and I'm sorry if I sound like Joe Biden telling the same old stories, but one of my siblings, my younger brother, he's out in California, and around election time, I was nervous. You know, I was like, oh, God, I just hope Trump pulls this out. And he said to me, well, either way, you know, you're in radio. You guys will have material either way. And I knew what he meant because a lot of people had said that to me leading up to the election. But I said to him, yeah, but I don't want a president so that I can have material on the air. I want a president who I'm proud of and who I think is going to do a good job and keep us safe. And it's not, a lot of people who voted for Trump, they weren't just voting for themselves. They were voting for the next generation. They were voting for their grandkids. They were voting for the country. You know, it wasn't about, oh, I want my guy to win. It was because a lot of people who voted for Trump don't even really like Trump all that much. But they like what Trump does for the country and does for their neighbors and does for their family. And I don't like being in this position to say, I told you so. But Lord knows I'm going to say it because this is where we're at. And we tried to warn you. You see those big signs when you drive through Maine that say, don't blame me. I voted for Donald Trump. And it's hard not to feel like that. I agree with Adam that the GOP needs to step it up. I mean, dunking on AOC on Twitter is not going to cut it. You know, we need a plan. And, you know, I was talking to my dad about this over the weekend, and I said, at the same time, I don't know what they do. And, like, what should they do? My dad said, these people have so much money. They should be running ads of Joe Biden around the clock. Like, those videos that the Trump campaign makes up where they just have all of his worst hits. Put that on every TV station in America. Let's have people very aware of what's happening. And these stories about Joey Baby and the Amtrak and stuff, it was kind of funny at first, but now we have a situation in Del Rio, Texas, where we have thousands of Haitians. In fact, the stories are getting so crazy that they sent some Haitians back to Haiti, and they were freaking out when they landed throwing rocks and shoes at the airplane because they didn't want to be forced to go back to Haiti. It's a complete bleep show. And hearing about how many miles Joe Biden has ridden on the train, I don't think is going to fix it. When we get back, we'll take more calls, 844-500-4242. I have a little bit more sound. And this is how you know it's getting bad. The AP is fact-checking Joe Biden's administration on what they're saying about Haiti. Remember how they said, oh, we're sending people back. They said two things. One, Jen Psaki said, oh, people don't really, you know, these Haitians who are under the bridge, they don't plan on staying here, you know, as if they're passing through like America's one stop and then they're going to go somewhere else. And then the other thing that they're saying is that they're sending a lot of Haitians back on airplanes. And that's not true. It's just not. They're sending people to a lot of places, but not a lot of people are going back to Haiti. We will talk more about this, 844-500-4242. But first, let's talk a little bit about the Eden Pure thunderstorm. Jared is all excited to talk about this, and I think I know why. Is it because we've been using it so much in the studio lately?
Yes, it is. It is the best product I have had. It's great for my allergies, but if you want to purify the air in your house, which means just getting rid of odors from cooking, odors from that funky smell in the basement, this is the product for you. It's easy. It's small. You don't have to worry about cords and filters and lugging junk and giant equipment around. You plug this into your wall, you turn it on, and within minutes it starts ionizing the air around you, which creates a super oxygen. And it doesn't just cover up odors. It actually purifies and cleans the air. So you are breathing clean, odor-free air.
Yeah, and everyone who gets the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, they always end up buying more because they want one for their car, for their basement, or for their office. They want to give one as a gift. So it's a really good opportunity to get the three-pack. If you purchase the three-pack, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier three-pack. So you'll save $200. And you'll get three units for under $200. All you have to do is go to EdenPureDeals.com, click on my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special three-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click on my name and use code word GRACE3. We have so much show to get to. We have Jerry Callahan coming up in the 1 o'clock. We've got Dear Grace in the 2 o'clock. But in the next segment, I'm going to take your calls, 844-500-4242. We will be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the whiskey priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
We'll be talking with Jerry Callahan a little bit about what's happening at the border and the media. And their sudden turnaround on Joe Biden. They're not impressed with him lately.
What's that all about?
But at first, I want to just read a little bit of this AP story. It says officials, many Haitian migrants are being released in the U.S. Many Haitian migrants camped in a small Texas border town are being released in the United States, undercutting the Biden administration's public statements that the thousands in the camps face immediate expulsion. Haitians have been freed on a very, very large scale in recent days, according to one U.S. official who put the figure in the thousands. Many have been released with notices to appear at an immigration office within 60 days. I don't want to sound like a pessimist, but I don't ever really buy into this idea that we're going to let people into the country and say, make sure you come back for your court date. Again, maybe Howie's just made me a cynic after all these years. This week, they added flights to Arizona. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is because accounts of wide-scale releases are at odds with statements a day earlier by Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who traveled to Del Rio to promise swift action. He said, if you come to the United States illegally, you will be returned. Your journey will not succeed. You'll be endangering your life and your family's life. Now, that doesn't add up with what's actually happening to people. And the reason I find this so funny is because just the other day, Mayorkas was talking about people getting misinformation. Can we play this, please, Jared? This is a flashback.
Because what we are seeing is vulnerable individuals having been deceived by smuggling in, organizations and misinformation take the perilous journey north when we have been quite clear that it will not be successful and that is not what they should do. It is heartbreaking to see these individuals. It is a human tragedy, and we are addressing it as best we can.
But the only person here who's giving misinformation is you, because you're telling people they won't be successful. But according to AP, which tends to be on Team Biden, a lot of people are successful. Thousands of people are seeing success. So who, you know how he always says, who guards the guards? Who keeps track of misinformation when the Ministry of Truth is offering up their own misinformation? And I just want to say, as far as the smugglers go, they're sending back single adults to Haiti. Do you think that's going to encourage or incentivize people to smuggle children in if they know they can stay if they bring kids with them? Just a thought. We'll be back with Jerry Callahan. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.